I'm Michael Hall.
And I'm Andy Davis.
And we want to welcome you to The Dadvantage, the D&D show where two old school dads talk about new school play.
And throwing a dad joke or two in there because they're fun.
Dad jokes. We got a bunch of them. There's some new ones. Did you like, I think we did a good one for the 50th anniversary. It's better read than said, but we can try it.
Happy birthday to D&D.
Yeah, happy birthday to D&D, 50 years. So Andy, what is a prize old D&D players can win for 50 years of playing?
I have no idea what is the prize that they can win for 50 years of playing.
Atrophy. A trophy.
A trophy. That's right. Oh my gosh.
It's better written than
bad.
It is said.
It's bad. It's still bad.
So we've done a bunch of head-to-head face-offs the last couple of episodes. So we thought maybe we'd do something a little different, Andy. What are we going to do today?
We're going to come back to our ongoing. We're just going to come back to giving some advice for players and possibly DMs. We had, we got some hot takes. I got some hot takes. I got the spicy takes. I got the spicy takes on how the players should play the game.
Yeah, and like
apologies
really
everywhere to anyone of Italian descent for that horrible accent.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. that was almost as bad as the Phantom Menace, Raj, whatever his name was.
Jar Jar Binks.
No, not Jar Jar Binks, but the guy who like.
The mechanic guy. Yes. Oh my god, that dude.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So these takes are a little bit more geared toward new players, but they're good for everybody. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
So we got five each. So we just sort of rapid fire go back.
Go back
and forth. Why don't you go first, Andy? Like, why don't you?
So kind. I didn't even have to roll initiative. Everybody, okay. So
I ceded initiative. I fumbled.
No, that's totally fair. Okay, so my first hot take is straight up: your character should suck. They should be bad at something. I mean, I would even go so far as to say that at least one of your stats should have a negative modifier.
Yeah. I think that's one reason I think why we like our custom array is that it generates at least one negative modifier.
And the reason for that is when you play characters that have flaws and even so far as to have mechanical flaws, they're actually much, and especially if you lean into those flaws, it's a lot of fun to play a low charisma character who is always trying to be the face of the party.
Yeah.
Because failure in roles begets opportunities to be really, really creative in ways that you might not otherwise get. So your characters should suck. Should be the worst at something.
I think that's absolutely something that's true. That's true in D&D 5e. That's not true in like Baldur's Gate. It's not true in earlier, not as true in earlier versions of D&D where failure that's meant fair. Death, right?
Yeah.
The fact that there's far less death in 5e, which I actually prefer, means that there's opportunity to have a lot of fun in failure. You and I have talked about this a lot. It's a lot more fun to have a bad roll. Like when you miss something, it's great to win, but it's funnier to lose.
It's not even so much that it's funnier, but it is like when you think of why do people love Batman over Superman?
Yeah.
They love Superman. Is a great character, but he's so powerful.
Yeah.
He's so OP that really he can win in any circumstance. So for him to lose, he almost has to choose to lose. Whereas Batman is, for all that he's exceptional in a lot of different ways, when he's written best as a human scale person, at least physically, right? You think of him as he is like tremendously intelligent, but physically, relative to that, he's physically weak, right? He has flaws. And
compared
so he has
superhuman.
To
superhuman.
Yeah, compared to a superhuman. So I don't know. It's just that to me is just one of those things. When you're building your character, it's as important to think about what you want them to be good at, as well as to think of what you want them to be bad at.
And I would say it's just so hard for a new player to wrap their head around.
Right.
But it's just like, don't be afraid to be bad at something. It won't be as dramatically bad as you think it will be. Right. You might.
Yeah, when it is bad, it gives an opportunity for your fellow players to help you, which is, I think, almost as important.
That's right. So I've got a really sort of really simple one, but it is something that I think DMs with new players would really love. And it's just know your spells and abilities, or at the very least, be prepared to read them out loud in game so that you, like, what does this mean? Right? Your DM does not know all the rules. Let's just be really flat out straight. The DM does not know all the spells. So it is up to you to know what your character can do, even if you don't know what that means.
Yes. Both of those two points, I think, are also in my hot takes.
Yeah.
To state it at a more extreme level. But yeah, I think that's.
When I say know your spells and abilities, like, certainly, like, 5 or 6 sessions in, you should know the things you're going to the well on a lot, and you should know what they do, and you should know how they work, and or be ready to read them out loud and just do it. You help your DM out.
Yeah.
Help your DM
out. I think what I wrote as my hot take in the same vein is you should know what you're doing. I mean, even and I will say, as a very new, never played the game before, that first session, you don't know what you're doing. Nobody's going to give you a hard time for not knowing what you're doing. But once you've played a little bit, like, and really even just gone through those first level, the things that you should really be thinking about is you should have some idea of your capabilities. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're a fighter or you're a barbarian, you should know, oh, in this round, I'm going to attack or I'm going to not attack. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you should be proactive. Right. You should know the fine area of, I'm going to cast a spell. If it's a spell, I'm just going to cast a spell. You should just be, I think, that idea of being, letting your character be proactive, and then also as a player being proactive and being engaged and paying attention at the table. Like, it's all sort of a packet of, like, if you do those things, even if you don't know the rules, you will have more fun, and you will be a better partner at the table.
I like the, you know, you said it, like, the, come be engaged. I think that's sort of the same. That sort of goes, you're right, it goes, mine and yours goes hand in hand in that sense.
Yeah.
And I think, look, that I know for you ADHD people out there, paying attention to a D&D game, particularly in combat, can be really, really, really hard, because it can feel like a slog sometimes. But it will,
especially if you're playing with like a large party with a lot of your friends playing, like, combat will grind to a halt because everybody is, especially if every time it comes up to a turn, every person is going through the, well, what should I do now? And you should be thinking ahead, what is your character's plan in this circumstance? Yeah. If they're a rogue, you're going to go hide. So you should be thinking about, like, okay, in this map, where can I go hide? Doesn't matter if somebody casts a fireball, if they take care of something before you get to it, you're still, and that's what your character would be doing, not just you as a player.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's good. I mean, it's core to the game.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to just call out that it's important to use it. That's also why I'm not a big fan of parties much bigger than 5 or 6 for that reason.
Yeah.
Even the best players, it can get to be sloggy.
It's very, one of my regular, semi-regular groups that plays like every couple of weeks, everybody started inviting everybody, and then all of a sudden it just turned, it's like, and it is, I feel so bad for the DM sometimes because it is a little unwieldy at times. Yeah. Because everybody's like trying to have their moments and do their things, and I'm like, you know, it's very funny.
There's, I don't understand how people do 7 or 9 people. Like, it's just,
I think it's manageable. It's hard in a bigger campaign.
Yeah, maybe in person. All right. So you've done. Was that your third one, or do you want?
That was my second one. I was just following up. So you give another one. You go for another one.
Well, this one isn't massively crazy either. Use D&D Beyond if you're a beginning player. I don't fall prey to all these people that hate on wizards. Use D&D Beyond. It's a free tool. It's great. And one of the amazing things you can do, and we show it frequently when we do our builds, you can build ahead so that you can have an idea of what your character is going to look like and feel like at third level, at fifth level. You can explore your character's future a little bit. It's probably not going to turn out how you expect while you're playing. But, like, you can explore your character's future a little bit. You can future craft beyond level 1 and enjoy it. And that will help you sort of also get into character. Like, what are your motivations? Because you're going to be going towards this certain thing.
And I would even extend that to, like, Demiplane and even, like, Roll20. They all have character mancers character builders and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think the higher level thing of, like, use the tools that are available.
It's so much easier.
As far as to say,
Back in the day when you had to do everything on pen and paper, it was hard. And it was really hard to future build. It's so easy now.
And I'll flip it around. I could even flip it around and say it is worthwhile building, especially if you're a beginning player, going through the process of creating some characters on a piece of paper, because it does give you a different sense of how to build a character and how the different pieces fit together, rather than just filling in the blanks of D&D Beyond. But that said, you know, I've got 60 some characters in D&D Beyond.
100, maybe I think I'm at 119 now.
Yeah. One of my friends is at like 150.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, dude. It's a lot. It's super fun. It's super fun.
I tend to build NPCs in D&D Beyond so I can just get a much better sense of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do a lot of that, mostly because I don't play as much. I DM too much. All right. Back to you, Andy.
Okay. Here's my, you should keep your mouth shut.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. Okay. So by that, what I mean is there's this, sometimes people use the term of main character syndrome. You're part of a group, right? So give other players their time to shine. If you are the barbarian and you're at a door that is locked, don't immediately, and you have a rogue in your party, don't immediately rush up to the door and kick the door in or smash the chest open. Give the rogue time to try to pick the lock, try to do their thing. When you're in a fight, it doesn't always have to be about you being the person who is the one that wins, right? Everybody, you should think about yourself as a group and think of yourself as performing, creating a story together. And that story is always going to be more satisfying when you help other, your other players be successful than it is when you are the one who is the hero, you know? Cause I think that is a big thing that happens sometimes, if people get caught up in the story of their character and not the story of the party.
Yeah.
So sometimes it serves you well to just stop and listen and, you know, and see what's developing amongst the group rather than necessarily driving and
that's such good
defaulting advice. I love proactive players. People should make choices, but I think also knowing when to step back and let somebody else lead the narrative, super important.
It's really hard when you pair it with the one you just gave previously, because it's like you're saying pay attention and shut up.
it's active listening. You are actively listening to what everybody else is doing and seeing where they are, both in terms of their plan. Like if they're coming up with a dumb plan, sometimes it's fun to let dumb plans just run, but sometimes they might come up with a really smart plan that you can add to. And
my players in like, you know, did one of the things I love is I have this really convoluted thing that's going on in one of my games, and the players surprised me with what they decided to do. And it was because they were paying attention to each other and riffing off each other. And it was really cool to watch. It was, it makes the game that much more fun. My third one is kind of a like your second one is my fourth one, I guess, I don't even know where I am. I've lost track, Andy.
I got a list. I'm checking them off as I go through. Right.
I didn't. But like my next one is sort of a build on yours too. This isn't a video game. Look, Baldur's Gate is freaking fantastic. It's so much. I actually just played for half an hour before we got on, Andy, and it's so much fun. And it is a great introduction. It plays like D&D. But the big difference is video games, you can die and you can try something and die and try it again. And you can die and die again. And nobody else gets pissed off because you died. Or worse yet,
just talk about the low lethality of 5e.
Yeah, but like nobody gets pissed off at you because you did something stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You in D&D, it is a cooperative game and you can get other players killed or kill them by accident. Right.
Yep.
And people don't like that. Or when you step on their game, people don't like that, to your point. Yeah. So play like it's a cooperative game. Understand the difference between a video game and playing a cooperative game with a bunch of other people.
Yeah. I like what you just said there about stepping on someone's game.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like it cuts both ways, right? You don't want anybody to step on your game and ruin your fun.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're telling the story of your character. But you also don't want to be the guy who is making everybody else at the table miserable because you keep stepping in on their moments and being like, oh wait, I could do this better. Oh wait, I could do this better.
Yeah. Or oh wait, you it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Let the DM rule.
Yeah.
Give the DM a chance to rule on stuff. So that's my next one.
Okay. Well, here I'll give one. We were just talking about DMs. I'll go into that. Stop asking your DM. Yeah. Stop asking them, are we leveling up? Yeah. Makes me insane. Oh, after God. Every session, are we leveling up? Especially when you get to like higher levels, it's going to take a while, right?
It's
going
to take attention.
Yes. Yeah. They know. They usually have a plan. By the time you get to ninth level, like they're probably going to start stretching it out because they want it to be meaningful. They want you to be really hitting like true milestones in a campaign. And then the other one is, again, this is sort of for that person who is a little, not your very first session, but maybe a little bit further down there. Don't ask what your characters can do or should do of the DM, right? It's not the DM's responsibility to understand all the mechanics of your homebrew druid and how it might work and interact. You can say like, I want to do this. Can I do that? That's totally legit. But don't ask what spells can I cast or what other things. This sort of ties back to the having some level of familiarity of what your character's capabilities are, so that you can make your own choices, good or bad, so that you can make your own choices about how to drive the action.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
don't play a wizard. Don't play a wizard in your first game.
That's fair enough.
Play whatever you want to play.
Play whatever you want to play. Play a wizard. It doesn't matter. If you just, all you do is cast Firebolt and Fireball the whole time, great. Yeah. But understand that you have those, the more you understand what options you have on your, from the, what your character to do, the more fun you will have and the less stress you're putting on the DM, because they have a lot to manage behind the table.
It's so funny you say that. I joined a game that went on for about 6 months. That was great. And it was a lot of fun, run by a close friend of mine. And I played sort of a version. We did our assassin build, right? I played a version of the assassin build. Not quite exactly that one, but, you know, a rogue soul knife. And I didn't have as much fun as I wanted to. Now, I knew exactly what that character could do, but I kind of got bored. And I think it's okay sort of building on the sort of knowing all the things you can do. But, you know, like there wasn't as much opportunity to rogue. And in combat, all I would do, like I was the person who was dropping the 25, 30 points of damage. So I felt sort of obligated to just do my sneak attack
I could do Hunter's
Mark. There was just a bunch of things I could do. And I just felt obligated to do that thing because I was the damage dealer. And I got really sort of bored doing it, Andy. I'll be honest. Like, as much as I liked being the person who's delivering,
that's where I would tell you it's time to make some other choices. Go run off and go be like, oh, I'm gonna do some roguey shit in the middle of this combat because, like, you guys are here too. It puts the pressure.
But that's sort of what I'm getting at is that, like, there's a trap out there for you if you don't know the other things your characters can do.
I was playing an inquisitive, like a tabaxi inquisitive rogue in a campaign, and we were in some dungeon and we like made an absolute ton of noise, and there were paths coming in from like every direction swarming the party, where we knew that there were like all these different groups of totally unrelated monsters all coming for us. And I ran away. Like, I didn't run away from combat, but I ran away from the rest of the party. Like, I was like, oh, I've got all this movement. I got all this stuff. I just absolutely booked it to this one corner of the room where there was a door. And I started, I had a totally separate fight than the rest of the party, because I was like, oh, I just need to, if I can take care of this, I can pull some stress off to the other party, the other people, and they can deal with stuff. But if they all get mobbed up, we're in big trouble. So I was jumping around, sneak attacking, doing my own thing. And everybody in the party is like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm having fun. You know, I'm being heroic, even if none of you guys can see it as characters, and I'm just bouncing around doing my thing. Yeah. Like, it's like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really complicated game. And I think just knowing what you're capable of and owning it is really important.
Yeah. And then being okay with making crap choices.
I think the answer to that, answer to that is what I wish I had done in that game was, I wish I'd sort of pulled the DM aside at some point and said, could you give me more roguey things to do?
Yeah.
Because it was like early in the game, there was a lot of opportunities for me to either stealth or pick locks or do these things, you know, roguey things. And then we just ended up in sort of a combat slog. And in combat, it was necessary for me to be doing heavy damage.
Yeah.
And so that's all I could do.
That's stuff that's totally legit to ask your DM for. Just don't stop asking if you're leveling up.
Yeah, don't ask.
Makes us crazy.
It does.
Okay. Make
me crazy.
I've got one last hot take.
I've got one last one too. Do I have one last time? Oh no, I've got two. Well, I'll do one and then you do one.
Then you go.
So look, this is, I am not a good example of this one. I tell people to do something I don't do, but I do it when I play, right? Like, but it, I have a hard time with it. So I recognize for all you people out there that want to do this, it's hard. Don't believe everything you read about what is best. There is a lot of information out there around best classes, best subclasses, best this, best that, best build. Don't believe the hype. Play what you want to play. Don't yuck someone else's yum. Don't trash on other people saying, oh, monks suck or whatever. Sure, whatever. But with a good DM in particular, you can have fun with every single build, every single subclass. There is no limit.
Yeah.
It goes back to what Andy says, you know, it's okay to suck or you should suck at something. Yeah. Don't believe the hype about what is best. It's okay to go out there and know it. It's okay to know it. But then don't only lean into that.
Okay. I'm gonna entirely agree with you with one caveat.
Yeah.
Do not multi-class into every class.
Well, I don't think that's optimal play. If you have a
first level fighter, rogue, I don't think
that's optimal play.
Wizard, bard, whatever. Like, don't multi-class into one of everything, because then it's just, you're not gonna. It's no, don't do that. But otherwise, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So and so on TikTok said I was supposed to do a one level dip into cleric in order to unlock. Nobody wants to hear that.
I mean, to the point of don't yuck everybody else's yum, you know, if somebody wants to power game,
but it's just,
and like do that one thing and like just get their character like absolutely tuned into that thing and that's their strength.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of the flip side of you should suck at one thing.
Yeah.
Is like,
okay to be great.
Really? If you get insanely great at that one thing that you can do.
Yeah.
It can be really fun, provided this is to like your soul knife point.
Yeah.
You know, it can be really great if you have the opportunity to do that thing.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you're just going
to
be.
I had a lot of opportunity to deliver a lot of damage, and I did. I mean, everybody was getting sick. Like the DM was, I think I need to ban that build in my future games. Like, no, I'm also rolling really well. And you're putting me in situations where I can take advantage of it. Don't read this wrong. I in that campaign, I rolled an ungodly number of crits. I don't think I've ever rolled that many crits in my life. And it's then just kept me doing it because I'm like, I'm rolling really like over 6 months. I must have rolled two or three crits a game. You know, it was just like, sharpshooter. I was like, there were times where I was delivering 40, 50 points of damage on a hit. And it was just like, this is obscene.
Just people from a distance, their bodies exploding.
It was always at like 20 feet or once I got sharpshooter, I could do it much farther, but it was like, mid range, bam, 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 just taking guys. It was, and again, that had a certain amount of fun, but I got tired of it. I think that's I think there is a corollary there, right?
Right.
There is a corollary. It's okay to be great at something. I think it's just I think DMs out there. So this is advice for more experienced DMs, probably not a beginner DM, but whenever somebody's power gaming in my game, I balance it out. I balance it out by giving great magic items to the non-power gamers, right?
Yeah.
So
it's very
fun. Go power game all you want, buddy.
Okay. I got my last hot take. This is the most controversial of all of them.
Oh, controversy.
100%. This is the hottest of hot takes. You don't need that many dice.
Oh, no. Shame on you.
They're pretty. I get it. I just bought another set of dice myself.
Andy,
paid far this too is much what money I have for
at
them.
Hand.
I understand.
Like within one hand. I like within reach.
I also have a lot of dice within reach. I'm just saying, you don't need that many dice.
No, you don't.
They're pretty. You need totally get it.
One, two sets at most.
Yeah, you need you need a set of dice. And honestly, you don't even need dice. You can get a dice roller on your phone.
That's true. You're playing with D&D Beyond.
You're playing with D&D Beyond. You really don't even need a set of dice.
We play remotely and play on D&D Beyond, and nobody uses dice at all.
Yeah. So all that said, I own a D&D dice accessory company, right? Like I'm saying this from with the caveat. But do you need that many dice?
You're like I'm a restaurateur. Diet. I want you all to diet.
Michael, I bought from China because I needed them as a prop for videos and photo shoots and stuff. I have a 15-pound bag of dice, of just assorted dice. I have like an insane quantity of dice. That's not even counting the ones that I've got separated.
Me saying don't power game and you go out and say don't buy dice after buying.
I'm just saying you don't need that many dice. Like they're fun to have. I know when I see people who have like their amazing collections of all the dice that they bought and they're paying for, they're getting like the beautiful handmade dice. Yeah. Like they're beautiful, glittery art objects. I love them. You don't need that many. Especially when you started, get a set of basic dice. You will still have fun.
I'll throw something out there. Like if you're going to buy more dice, buy really nice ones from makers.
Yeah.
Go out and find somebody who you really respect, who's a creator. And buy their dice. And that way you don't have as many dice because you can't afford those greater dice because they're expensive. But like, don't go out and buy a giant bag of dice just to have a giant bag of dice. Like Andy's got a reason. But like,
it's true.
Like if you're going to spend the money, spend it on somebody who is a custom maker, a hand maker of dice. Like that is
great advice. If you're going to be a dice goblin, try to be a dice goblin.
Save up your money and spend it.
Save up your money. Special stuff. Beautiful stuff.
One of a kind.
There are plenty of just amazing crafters and makers who make some.
I swear to God, I have to sometimes just say no. You don't need another set of dice. I'm always looking at them. That's beautiful.
I found a guy who makes ceramic. A guy, girl. I don't even know I found a person, Fighting Chance Studio on Instagram, and I just bought. I'm not even going to say how much I spent on a set of dice from them. It's all ceramic.
Oh, sounds gorgeous.
So it's like ceramic with like decals and they're glazed. They're like, I've seen the pictures. I was like, I pretty much have to get one of these and I have to see if they'll be willing to do some sort of collab for donuts because they're just like sick.
Glazed ice, glazed donuts. I mean, it all makes
glazed
sense.
Glazed ice, glazed donuts. Yeah, sure. Makes complete
sense. I've got maybe a strain. It's a hot take. I don't know if it's controversial, but I don't think people say it often enough. How about that? For my last take, if you want to DM, just start. Do it.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it. It's not as hard as you think it is. And people will be so grateful, particularly if you've got a group of friends, just do it. Just start DMing. Pick a basic adventure. There are bunch of really good the new Phandelver thing, fantastic. The new dragon thing, fantastic. Just do it. Get started. It's not as hard as you think it is. You do not need to be Matt Mercer. You do not need to be Brendan. You can
the bar is shockingly low to being a good DM.
There's so many people out there dying to play, and you just need to start. It's so not as hard as you think it is.
Friend of mine.
And we talk about it being hard a lot, right? But it's
really. A friend of mine that I fence with, he's our age, maybe a little bit younger, a few years younger than I am. And he has a son who's in high school and he just started playing it with his son and a bunch and a couple of their cousins. And he's doing Phandelver and he came and told me that he was starting it and asked, you know, and I gave him a couple of like really low key tips.
But
the last time I talked to him, he was having an amazing time. They thought they were going to do like a little one shot thing. And they're like, no, they're fully into a campaign now. Yeah. He's loving it. I mean, being a DM is just so much fun. Okay. Just go do it. Because here's the thing. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to spend a few hours preparing.
Yeah.
You're going to play the game for 3 or 4 hours and it's not going to go well. Right. And how many of us have played a board game, have sat down to play a board game, and it's not been like the game that we're totally into? And so now you know, right?
They're a bunch of great.
That is the worst thing that can happen. Lose an afternoon, but you'll still have a lot. You'll still learn.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. There's so many good videos about how to handle combat and how to handle spells. Yeah. And if you get it wrong, it's not that big a deal either. And on the other side, back to some of the other things we said. Just have everybody read what their things do.
Yeah.
You know, like that, yeah. It, like
you have a player's handbook. Everything. If you're playing at the table and you're not online, you have, yeah, everybody has the handbook. The book, yeah. You have a player's handbook at the table and they just pass it around and they go like, oh, you don't know what that spell does. You hand it to the player's handbook to them and say, well, tell me what the spell does.
Yeah.
And when they tell you that, then you figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, how does a bonus action work? Oh, well, you know, it's pretty straightforward, right? Like, it's just like, there's some, go read it. Go, if you're confused, their rules are there. They're handy to find.
And anybody who tells you that it needs to be a full-time job and you need to put 12 to 15 hours of preparation in for every hour that you play and you need to have a fully realized novel of a backstory for your thing, they don't know what they're talking about.
Don't judge me.
I'm just saying, as a big fan of the lazy DM school of DMing,
yes,
you don't need any of that.
No, you don't.
All you need is some dice and the books, a book or two, and like the starter kit, and a willingness to help your friends tell a story.
That's right.
That's it.
When I first started, Andy, I was the DM. Yeah. I hadn't even played a character. And I was DMing.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, I was in the same boat. Like, yeah. I was the DM for my brother and two or three kids in the neighborhood that we played. And when the D&D club formed at school with Mr. Beaver, the math high school. And this is, hey, Morris, shout out to the Morristown Colonials graduating class of 1986. Yeah. Like, I mean, when I was in the D&D club, I mean, there were a couple of older guys who were DMs. And it was like literally the first time I'd ever played where I wasn't the DM.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I'm sure, I think I ran campaigns for that too.
When I was about that same age, when I was in high school, I taught a D&D class at the middle school.
I had no idea. That's awesome.
Yeah, there wasn't a D&D club, but the rec, the town rec sponsored D&D classes. So I pulled together three or four kids who also knew how to play. And we taught the fourth graders, the fifth graders, the sixth graders, and the seventh graders how to play D&D. That's, or I guess, awesome. It was fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. We taught them all how to play D&D. We had different DM for each group, and we taught them how to play.
That's hilarious.
I was a professional DM at 15.
At 15?
I was getting paid to DM at
15. Nice. I was working at the art store so that I could buy comic books down the street from the art store.
Yeah, I had the comic book store job, too. That was good. I had the hobby store job and the comic book store. It was good. Yep. Life was good. Awesome. All right, well, like, that's some good hot takes. I think that's all good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would love to hear other people's hot takes on what they think is. Yeah, I'd love to hear what they think are the things that are like that really make them a little insane that they would want to tell their players or tell other players.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll ask people on Instagram
or the socials
some other hot takes. All right, well, thanks everybody. We really appreciate you. If you listen to us on Apple or on Spotify, please go and rate us, give us a review. We've got almost 20 reviews, 5-star reviews. That's not bad.
That is pretty good.
Awesome. And it helps people find us, and we really appreciate that. So, Andy, do you want to do the rest of the socials?
Yeah, you can find us. Well, before I get into the socials, Michael, I got a question for you.
Yeah. Always open.
What is the difference between a wizard who raises the undead and a sexy vampire?
Oh gosh. I'm blushing. I don't know.
That is my sexy vampire voice. One is a necromancer. The other is a necromancer.
Necromancer or neck?
Necromancer. Like, yeah, there you go.
That's so better than atrophy in some ways. Good written. It was less good saying it out loud.
I think you could really it would be very funny to have a campaign where someone was searching for a necromancer and they find a sexy vampire.
To figure it out. Oh my God.
There's a Halloween one shot there for somebody who wants to write it. I'm just saying. And then, just getting back onto our socials, you can find all of our links, past podcast episodes, our merch, such as it is, and links to like Facebook group, Twitter. I need to get in there and add a few more, but, you can find us all there. We're at linktr.ee/thedadvantage. We're pretty active on Facebook and Instagram. We're also getting more active on Threads, I believe.
Yeah.
On Threads. So we're kind of in the metaverse of ecosystem of stuff. And come check us out. Come see what we have to say.
Right on. That's good stuff.
We'd love to hear from you.
Follow us. Look at us. See us.
Oh, and for anybody who has been kind enough to support my Kickstarter for the for Dodeca Donuts.
Andy, you smashed it. You smashed
it. It's going good. It's going good. We have made our goal. We will definitely be funded. There are a few slots open still for a few additional donuts. And if you back, and if the donuts even do sell out, if you back for one of the other items, even the $1 pledge, you'll be able to order additional donuts as part of the back plan survey.
That's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited. I signed up. I did a donut.
Sweet. I mean, yeah, I'm excited about the whole thing too. It's going to be fun.
Well, thanks everybody. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Thanks.